Gabriel Wrench with the Cross Baltic Daily News Brief for Friday, November 6th, 2020. Well, if 2020 couldn't have gotten any crazier. Michigan protesters are shouting, stop the count. The Trump campaign is suing all the Democratic cities that are having election irregularities, quote, end quote. Why are the polls wrong? And ESPN layoffs and more. But first, I'd like to remind you, if you come across a news story that you think we might need to cover, please send it over to news@crosspolitik.com. That is news@crosspolitik.com. This is a great way to share articles and stories with us that may end up in our daily or weekly shows. So news@crosspolitik.com. North Carolina says it will not update election results until November 12th. November 12th. North Carolina's boards of elections have announced it will not be uploading the election results for more than a week, despite the importance of North Carolina can play in terms of determining both the presidency and control of the U.S. Senate. The state's county election boards have announced they will not begin the process of counting the outstanding absentee and provisional ballots until November 12th. More than 95% of North Carolina's votes have been conducted, but the margin between President Trump and former Vice President Biden stands at 1.4%, with Trump holding 50.1% of the vote and Joe Biden holding 48.7% of the vote. The good news also here is Senator Tom Tillis has 48% or 48.7%, leading the Democratic challenger Cal Cunningham at 46.9%, just by a slightly larger margin than Trump is leading Biden. Why the polls were wrong about Trump again. According to Yahoo News, pollsters systematically underestimated President Trump's support again. This time they missed by an even bigger margin than in 2016, and Yahoo News was no exception. So they're actually ratting themselves out. Good work. Yahoo News' final YouGov poll gave Democratic Joe Biden a 10-point lead. That's Yahoo News. And so even if Trump doesn't beat Biden, he has largely beaten his pre-election polls. The question is why almost everyone was off. The 2020 polling error matches the pattern of the 2016 error really well, so there really does seem to be something wrong here, explained Elliot Morris, a data journalist who runs the Economist Election Forecast, during a Wednesday post-mortem on the Science of Politics podcast. It's not just two random polling errors. Across the Rust Belt in particular, the polls and results weren't even close. In Michigan, this year's final 538 polling average, the most comprehensive and careful in the field, showed Biden ahead 7.9%. So he was ahead by 7.9 percentage points. The race is now on track to be decided by less than 2 points. 4 years ago, Hillary led by an average of 4 points in Michigan heading into Election Day. She lost 0.25 points. That means this year's Michigan polls were off by 6 or 7 points. Ouch. In Wisconsin, this year's final polling average showed Biden up by 8.4 percentage points. He is now on track to win by less than 1 point. 4 years ago, Clinton led by the average of 5 points. In Wisconsin, heading into Election Day poll, she lost to Trump by less than a point. That swings everything by at least 8 percentage points. In Ohio, this year's final polling average showed Trump ahead by just 0.8 percentage points. He's now on track to win by 8 percentage points. That's incredible. In Iowa, this year's final 538 polling average showed Trump ahead by 1.3 percentage points. He's now on track to win by 7 percentage points. Keep going. In Florida, Biden led in the final polling average by 2.5 points. It looks like he's going to lose by 3.5 points, which totals about 6 percentage points the poll missed in Florida. In Nevada, Biden led by 5.3 points. It looks like now he will be extremely close for the roughly 5-point polling miss. In Texas, Trump led by 1.1 points in the final polling average, and he looks like he's going to win by 6 points. Pennsylvania, last one. We'll do the last one here. In Pennsylvania, Biden led in the final polling average by 4.7 points. That will probably prove to be off a few percentage points there once all the votes get tallied and everything. So just every poll, every state, even, you know, Texas, I mean, even Florida, these polls were really, really bad. And this is just more reasons why we should not trust mainstream media, mainstream polling, all that stuff. And just hopefully another reason for you to want to join our club. The state of news and mainstream media is appalling, and by the grace of God and your club membership, our goal is to take over the whole CNN, Fox, polling, discipleship agenda. We really do need Christians engaged in politics, and with your club membership, we hope to do this for years to come. So support Rowdy Christian Media by joining our club, and depending on your club level, you get a free t-shirt, access to our club content, discounts for our conference, coffee mugs, bags of delicious Sovereign coffee, and so forth. And if that is not exciting enough, or if you have more opportunity, also join our magazine subscription. As many of you already know, we have started a magazine. Order a yearly subscription for yourself and then send a couple yearly subscriptions to your friends who have been drinking lukewarm evangelical Kool-Aid. Every quarter we promise quality food for the soul, joyous wine for the heart, and, well, I don't think we're going to be shipping out wine, but you get the idea, and some Red Bull for turning over tables. Our magazine will include cultural and theological commentary, a psalm of the quarter, recipes for feasting, laughter sprinkled throughout, and more. Our goal is to produce a high-quality, quarterly, mini-book-like experience. We really want that in there. So early bird subscription is $40 if you sign up before January 1st, and you will get billed starting January 1st, so you don't have to pay, actually, until January 1st. New Jersey signs strongest plastic and paper bag ban in the U.S. on November 4th. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, doing the good Lord's work of, or is it, I don't think so, signed the strongest single-use bag ban in the nation, effectively prohibiting the use of single-use plastic and paper bags in all stores and food services establishments across the state. The bill, S-864, was introduced in the New Jersey State Senate by five primary sponsors. Oh my goodness, mark these guys out. Senator Bob Smith, Senator Linda Greenstein, and Nancy Pinkin, all Democrats. If traveled through several committees before passing, so it actually, they had to go through committees to, oh my goodness. Some of the containers affected by the ban include plastic carryout bags, single-use paper carryout bags, polystyrene foam food service products, commonly known as styrofoam, as well as the limited use of plastic drinking straws. Oh, this is even affecting drinking straws. The bill goes into effect in May 2022. That's 2022, so it doesn't go into effect for a while. With products like meat and fish trays, pre-packed polystyrene, which is styrofoam, and selected straws being legal for another 2 years after that. So they're kind of giving you a ramp down on this stuff. I wonder how abortion is doing in the state of New Jersey. Affirmative action push and Proposition 16 fails to win over California voters. This is actually interesting and good news. California rejected affirmative action in Tuesday's election, opposing the repeal of a 1996 ban on considering race and gender in public hiring, college admissions, and contracting. Proposition 16, placed on the ballot by the Democratic-controlled legislature, surprise, was failing 56-44 as votes continue to be counted. It sought a repeal, Proposition 209, which barred the state from discriminating against or granting preferential treatment to any person or group based on race, sex, ethnicity, or nationality. After a summer of civil unrest fueled by the police killing of a black Minnesotan and pandemic that underscored the country's racial disparities, Democratic lawmakers said it was time to allow a new generation of Californians to revisit the question. Arnold Steinberg, a strategist with the No in the Proposition 16 campaign, declared victory on Tuesday night. We face a daunting uphill battle against an initiative put on the ballot at the last minute by the state legislator, said Steinberg. In a state hardly seen as conservative, voters rejected a repeal of the state constitution's guarantee of equal treatment by race. So you get this. Equal treatment by race. California Democratic legislators wanted to push a bill that was going to give preferential treatment by the color of your skin when signing up for a job or being hired in the public by public government. And they want equality. And so what they do is they give inequality. They pass bills to bring inequality. It just is all backwards. Good job, California, for turning that thing down. ESPN slashes 500 jobs in a major cost-cutting move. 500 jobs. This is let me break the data down here in a minute, but this is a big time and an interesting time for media, and you know it's interesting as cross-politic and what we're trying to do here with the Fight Laugh Feast Network. We're coming in to this media world at a time where old media has all the money, but they also are pretty administrative heavy and staff heavy. And so they're having to cut costs while CrossPolitik gets to come in and kind of ramp up into this world and where we're at with, you know, streaming and all that stuff. So I'm grateful for the place where CrossPolitik is at, while companies like ESPN have to eliminate 500 jobs, where we are, you know, running lean and actually able to hire our first two employees coming January 1st, and we're excited about that. So ESPN is eliminating 500 jobs in an effort to cut costs amid coronavirus pandemic. Jimmy Pitaro informed his staff on Thursday, and Jimmy Pitaro is the CEO of ESPN. In a memo obtained by The Wrap, the president of ESPN said Disney-owned company would be laying off 300 staffers and scrapping 200 open positions in an effort to shift more resources towards ESPN's direct-to-consumer business strategy, digital content, and continued innovation in television experience. So notice that they're trying to work on, ESPN has an app. You can actually get Disney Plus and add ESPN Plus, or you can pick up ESPN Plus all by yourself. But they're working on basically bringing their services, bringing their product, bringing their shows directly to consumers, and bypassing the emphasis on going through cable. They're still working on that, but it just shows you how the game is changing, even with old cable television. Prior to the pandemic, we had been deeply engaged in strategizing how to best position ESPN for future success amid tremendous disruption in how fans consume sports. Exactly. That's what Pitaro wrote. The pandemic's significant impact on our business clearly accelerated those forward-looking discussions. In the short term, we enacted various steps like the executive and talent salary reductions, furloughs and budget cuts, and we implemented innovative operations and production approaches, all in an effort to weather the COVID storm. So it's amazing how COVID obviously has impacted ESPN, because there's no live sports, or there was very little live sports for months and months on end. So this is Gabriel Wrench with CrossPolitik News. Support Rowdy Christian Media by joining our club, FightLaughFeast.com. Download our app. Just type in Fight Laugh Feast in your favorite app store and head to our second annual Fight Laugh Feast conference next October in Nashville. And that's October 14th, 15th, and 16th. With your partnership, you are providing us with resources to compete with mainstream media. Go to FightLaughFeast.com to take all these actions. Have a great day.